The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hey everyone, it's Billy Morrison and Ozzy Osbourne here. Our new show, The Madhouse Chronicles, is dropping this April. Join us as we watch and react to the maddest internet clips. What do we discuss, Ozzy?
Drugs, rock and roll, aliens, all that kind of shit.
Drugs, rock and roll, aliens, and all that kinds of shit. Visit osbournemediahouse.com for early access. What do you say? Do you think it's the wildest show on the internet?
Oh.
You're in the madhouse now.
If you hear this sound, that means this episode is also featured on our YouTube channel as a video. Head over to www.youtube.com/keepitweirdpodcast to check it out.
Warning: this episode contains foul language and discussions about bigotry, violence, and monsters.
Strange and unusual, hairy and scary, young, dumb, and full of crumbs. And today is the first episode of season 7. And a very merry St. Paddy's Day to ya. This season, we're going to be covering all the same topics you know and love. Extraterrestrials, life after death, poltergeist, unsolved mysteries, monsters, madmen, mayhem, and more. But we're shaking up the format a bit. We still have our themed episodes whenever we have guests on the show, but each week when it's just me and my good pal Lauren, it's going to be all about segments. Segments on segments of other segments. We're packing in as much weird as we can into each morsel, into each episode. We're taking off our themes and we're burning them this season. We're letting our
in the fire
freak flags fly. And all that matters is that the end result is strange. So, without further ado, it's time to dust off our microphones and shake out the bats that have replaced all my real thoughts in my brain and get back to weird. And by weird, I do mean work. My name is Ashley and this is my co-host Lauren.
Hello again, weirdos.
Is it just me or was this hiatus the longest hiatus we've ever taken?
It felt insanely long. It feels like we have not recorded in a year.
It feels like we
has it been a year?
Didn't have a show. Like, I don't understand why it felt so long this year.
It felt really long, and it didn't ever feel like a hiatus. I feel like in the past, it's been like, oh, I was relaxing. I was lounging.
So
I guess I can
rested.
Do a show again. And we were like, I'm the busiest I have ever been.
Never been busier. And never. Here we are.
I'm happy to be back. Though.
Back on
it
the
does
show.
Feel so
I am
right.
too. I am too. Is there anything new in your life since we saw you last, which was December of 2022?
Yes. And I've said this on bonus episodes. Some people who are on our Patreon page have been very sweet sending me messages, but I started a teaching job.
Yeah.
So I'm actually working kind of in a full time, it's still part time because it's like a preschool and it's a short day, but I'm back to a full time stable income. I still have my side. My side business of Peekaboo Music where I, you know, go around Los Angeles and teach, but I am in a preschool now. It's actually Wilder's preschool. So that is also fun that we get to hang out.
Being around kids that much. How do you do that?
how do I survive? I have to have a lot of coffee and cool. I have to have meditation breaks when I get home, like true meditation. I've always tried to be into meditation. I feel like I've said this to you before where I try, but I'm just not for good sure. at it. But I feel like I've gotten better at it because of this job where I come home, Wilder gets shoved in his room for some quiet time, like go play with your cars. Mom is going to zen out and lots of baths and deep breathing is how sure. I survive. Yeah. But other people's kids I can tolerate. That's the thing. Like I really can put up with some BS from other kids knowing like it's okay. They're going home to their parents, but it's so funny because I'll be like using my gentle voice, my gentle teacher voice with the other kids working through conflict resolution. And then Wilder does something across the playground. And I'm like, hey,
and you're like,
hey, you get over here right now.
You son of a bitch.
I was like, I have to use that voice with him at school. But yeah, I have no patience for that boy.
Well, I started going to the gym, and
you're a gym rat now.
I'm a gym rat now. Lifting weights, running car. You know what? Here's the thing, though. Here's what's cool. Okay, let's get this out of the way. Do I like it?
Start over.
No, I don't. And sure. I don't believe people who do. Like, no, I've been going for about a month and a half now. And the first thing anyone ever asks me is, like, do you like it? Or, like, do you like it yet? Or is it better now? No, it's not. It's still as horrible as the very first day I went. I fucking uh-huh. hate it. But what I do like, and this sucks, is that going to the gym regularly makes you feel better.
I know. Those things are true.
It's so dumb.
Releasing the good brain feelings.
I wish it
is
didn't,
what I call
but it does. So I'm going to keep going, I guess.
Good for you, though.
Yeah, and on the progress that I made is pretty stellar. I did this because I'm turning 35 this month. And
woo. So soon.
It's the first year, like I kind of joked about it before, like once you turn 30, everything goes to hell. But this is the first year that I've noticed physical changes where like, I've been twisting my ankle a lot where it's like, what? And it's like, yeah, you're going to start like doing that. You're dying. Your cells are dying.
Your it's like, apart. Oh, cool. You're not well.
I lose my balance easier. Like it's harder. Like stretching is like more important. So I was like, okay, you know what? If I want to still be able to like move at 55, I have to do something about that today.
Sure. That's really smart. That's so responsible of you, honestly.
So responsible.
You're so mature.
I am. I'm so mature and I'm so brave. I also, listen to this.
Oh, yeah. Oh, we love it.
Guess what? That's a fucking Diet Coke, bitch.
Diet Coke, y'all.
I
love that for you.
I've joined the cult.
Yeah, are you like addicted?
Honestly, no shame. No, I have like one a day weekdays. And it's because coffee was like, it was like giving me heartburn and stuff, but I still like the caffeine. So whatever, totally. Here we are.
I know I have to have caffeine, but I agree. I feel like coffee has been giving me more heartburn than usual too. And I just have that general feeling that I'm falling apart. So
you are.
You're my inspiration. I do need to get back to exercising, even if like Wilder doesn't allow for me to go to a physical gym. Like I could do stuff on YouTube, on my TV. Like I've just put in no effort to exercise and I need to.
Well, and I saw this thing yesterday or the day before, this woman on TikTok who's like a physical therapist and she works with like older people a lot. And she was saying there are four things that you should do every single day starting now, like in your 20s and 30s. You should do these every single day and you should never stop. And those four things are when you get out of a chair, don't use your arms. So just use your legs. Just stand up out of the chair. Don't like push yourself out of the chair. So when you stand up, just like that. You did a really good job. So
that's how you do it, folks.
Don't use your arms when you get out of a chair. Just stand up. Okay. The other ones are make sure you can get up off the ground. So if you're on the ground, just make sure that you can stand up from the ground because that's something that happens when you're older. Another one is you should be able to lay on your stomach without any like pain. And if there is pain, you need to start stretching. And she was like, you know, obviously you should be able to sleep on your stomach, but that's not comfortable for a lot of people. But a lot of people can't lay on their stomach because they can't turn their heads. And a lot of people don't realize that they can't turn their heads until they're asked to turn their head.
Interesting.
And then it's like, oh, and I can't remember the fourth one. Son of a bitch. Well, I guess that one is what's going to kill me.
That's going to be the death of you right there.
I learned this 24 hours ago and I've already forgotten it. Hi, guys. Welcome to season 7 of Keep It Weird. We hope your bodies are doing great. One major upgrade this season is that we get to hear your voices. That's right. We're taking call-ins. And maybe sometime we'll do like a live call-in type thing. But what you're going to get to do this year is call the number on your screen, 626-686-1821, and leave us a message. The message can be a segment idea, a story you want covered, a question you want answered, a scary story that I can add sound effects and like music to.
We love that.
You could tell your own listener ghost stories. You can call and ask for advice. Like literally whatever you want to do, call the number, leave us a message. Again, 626-686-1821. Leave us a message and you might actually hear that message on a future episode of Keep It Weird. So I think
how exciting.
That's cool.
I think that is so cool. I can't wait to hear all of your voices. Like we get to write back and forth with you on social media, but to have a voice message from you will be fabulous.
It's going to be wonderful. And speaking of segments, so we're just going to get right into it. Like I said, our show is going to be full of segments. We're freshening up the show. We want to bring you into our brains a little bit. And make sure you comment below if you're watching on YouTube. If you're not, call in. Leave us a comment on Instagram or DM us. Tell us what segments you want to hear more of. So we know that you like them and we'll have them in future episodes. So
I have some favorites.
Let's get started with our first segment. What if God was one of us? What if God was one of us?
I was ready.
I know you were so ready.
Ready to be
our first segment. What if God was one of us? It's going to be our theological segment.
Oh, okay. I love it.
Will probably end up being one of our more controversial segments, so it's very brave of me to bring this to the first episode of the season.
I admire your courage.
But it's very topical. It's extremely topical with some horrible shit that's going on in the world, so I feel like it's important, and I'm going to say it. When I say theological, too, I mean it can be anything. They could be questions we have for each other, stories about religion, theories about God. We talk about our spirituality a lot on the show and, like, you know, the problems we have with our own spirituality, with, like, other people's spirituality. So I figured, like, this is a good thing to have, like, a segment for because we bring it on the show quite a bit.
We do. We do. We tend to do that.
This week, I was thinking, if God reincarnated on earth with us today, the biblical God, the bearded heaven, hell God.
Man of the clouds. Okay.
What would she not be surprised to see? Because here's the thing. Like, your everyday Christian thinks of God as like Santa Claus. She sees you when you're sleeping. She knows when you're awake. She's aware of every thought in your head. But it's way more likely, if the biblical God exists, that he created us, taught us how to live a godly life, and then goes off and does other stuff, creates other worlds, etc., etc., and then comes back to check in on us every once in a while, see what we're doing, see what we're struggling with, teach us and remind us of our spiritual selves and where we come from, right? Jesus did it. Before him, Horus did it. Quetzalcoatl did it. It's happened before. It would happen. It would make sense that it would happen again. So I have a little history lesson today. It's very cool. If God was here today, what would she not be surprised to see? And the answer is drag queens, non-binary people, trans people, the entire scope of the LGBTQA+ community, challenging gender norms, because actually, they have existed since the beginning of time. So
let's talk about it.
Non-binary people were present in Mesopotamia. Ancient Mesopotamia, which is the earliest civilization that we know of, they had records of people who were neither male nor female. And not only that, but their gods created these people for specific reasons. It wasn't a mistake. It wasn't like, oops, like, why'd that one turn out that way? Like, these were people that were created that way for a reason. Mm-hmm. Ancient Egypt described three different genders, male, female, and Sekhet. The Scythians were ancient nomads from the year 7 BC who actually honored gender nonconforming people. So biological men who lived as women, biological women who lived as men. These people were honored as priests and warriors, wise ones.
We love
Amen.
It.
We love to see it. Native Americans Amazing. Recognized a myriad of genders. And even classic Judaism had up to six genders. And that was in like year fucking one.
Right. The beginning of time.
Literally the beginning of time.
I had no idea, but that is incredible. I love that.
All of these ancient civilizations not only had more than two genders, celebrated more than two genders, but like those people were not outcasts in society. They were actually a part of society. Sometimes they were even honored in society. So the Christian God would not be surprised at all to come here today and see these lovely members of mankind. In fact, it seems to me you're the fucking weird one.
Right.
You! The ones who banned drag in Tennessee and the ones who refused to use pronouns. You're the fucking weirdo. You're the one that's incorrect.
You're the problem, it's you.
You're the problem, it's you. And here's the thing. Truly. I don't want anyone coming to me being like, they mean it political. It's not political. You're the only one making it political. It's not political to me.
It doesn't have to be political. No.
They're just people.
It sounds like these people were also created in God's image and are loved sounds by like God. This God that you worship and talk about. I think all of these people are here for a reason. God wanted them here. God would come on down and say, wow, love this drag brunch. Love this drag reading
love
in the library.
Love this drag brunch.
I'm attending it all. I think God would be stoked and want to party with those people because God created those people. And y'all are the losers.
You're losers.
I'm just going to say.
You're losers, fucking truly. Losers. So that was my What If God Was One of Us segment. Our next segment today is a fan favorite. I'm actually passing it off to Lauren for what I can only assume is a very silly, silly story.
We all miss doing This Week in Weird, our wonderful YouTube show from days past. I slip it into the newsletter, though. I usually have one or two news stories in there. However, I wanted to bring back to the show something oh so silly, as Ashley said. It's Lauren's Derp Corner!
Ooh.
Never gets old. So, this is our weird news segment. It falls into the category of derpiness, but it also is, it's a little sad. So, it's not that upsetting because even the articles I was reading, people were laughing at it. So, you can create your own opinion here. End of last year, late 2022, a UK man sustained what looked like car crash injuries. After being attacked and essentially pushed down his staircase by someone he loved.
Mitch McConnell?
And trusted. you'd think. Also, your Instagram was hilarious about Mitch McConnell.
Sorry, sorry.
Loved it.
Not being a good Christian now, am I?
Won't tell anybody. So, pushed down the stairs, attacked by someone he loved and trusted, this man's Egyptian hairless sphinx kitten.
No.
Chris Rowley, age 59, had been at his home on a Sunday in late October 2022 when the hairless sphinx latched onto his leg, what we can only assume is in a playful way, which reminds me of when Gabby attacked
you.
My leg. And as he tried to shake free gently just to get the kitten out of the way, and he didn't want to, you know, step on his cat. This is a kitten, brand new kitten. He's trying to shake it free, but then he loses his balance. The cat gets kind of mixed up in his feet and he tumbles down his entire wooden staircase.
Wow.
And was left just broken at the bottom. It was 9 broken ribs, a fractured spine, and a crack in his skull causing a big bleed in the brain.
Dude almost died.
Like, horrific. Yeah. He was lying in his own blood. That's why I was like, sorry, it's a little gross and sad, but he does live. But he had to lie in this broken down position for 14 hours because his partner, Jackie, was working the night shift and didn't return home until the next morning. His phone was dead, so he couldn't call anyone else.
Always charge your phone, kids.
I know. And he didn't have life alert or anything. You know, you think of those bracelets people wear. He had nothing, so he just had to lie there. I think at one point he tried to kind of shimmy himself but didn't make it far. And when his partner, Jackie, finally did get home, she reported saying that she could tell he had shifted because of, like, the blood and his positioning, but that she just found this broken man and immediately took him to the hospital. Oh, this was another funny part that adds to the derpiness. When she did find him at the bottom of the stairs, the cat was sitting on his chest. Just like...
The cat was like, look what I did.
Whoops. Oopsies.
The cat was like, so here's what happened. Okay. While you were gone.
While you were away. Or just like, don't fuck with me. I don't know.
How
what kind
unlucky
of attitude this cat.
Could you be? I mean, the amount of times that I've had a kitten who has made me fall down is uncountable. They just do that. They try and like climb up your legs, and it can like be kind of painful, even though they're being sweet. Your legs can get tangled in them. This guy happened to just be at the top of a staircase.
The top of a long staircase, and then the dead phone and his partner working for 14 hours.
The perfect storm.
Like everything. The perfect storm. So she was able to call emergency services for our buddy Chris. He is a professional musician from England. He seems like a sweet old man in the photos you can find online. He was rushed to the hospital where he was kept for 2 weeks while he was healing, and he needed to be kept for monitoring because of the severe head injury. You can't mess around with those. So he was in the hospital for a damn minute. And when he was finally released, it was, even though he, you know, is back home and he's going to be okay.
Right.
He has such a long recovery journey. So he can't work for the next 6 months.
Oh my
God. Can't drive a car. Like, so many things were going against him, unfortunately, because of these horrific injuries from a cat. But the good news is that there is some faith in humanity, and a bunch of people, when they heard his story online, set up a GoFundMe.
Hell yeah.
And are sending him money while he is out of work. And I think, you know, people were trying to provide them meals and just help the family the best they could. And sweet Chris is like, I hold no ill will. It was just
not like
a mistake.
We got rid of the cat.
Throw the cat in the dumpster. No, he's like, I still love my cat, and he's going to stay. He was just a silly kitten as he sits there with his neck brace at home. So sweet, sweet man. The cat is absolutely fine as well, if anyone was concerned.
Good.
And as Ashley said, the last little bit about she has tripped over her own cats. I'm sure we've all tripped over our pets. They get tangled up in our legs.
They sure do.
Think they're being playful. Giant dogs don't know their own strength and jump on top of you thinking it's going to be a little wrestling match. But I looked it up. In the U.S., at least, there are 90,000 injuries per year from tripping over pets.
Wow.
I didn't think it was going to be that high, but... I mean, it makes sense, but still.
Well, and 90, a lot of 000. The times you trip over your pet because you overcorrect because you don't, like, want to step on your cat. So you, like, whoa, and then you end up tripping. Whereas if you just kept
balance,
walking, you would have been fine.
You would have been just fine. They would have moved.
They
probably,
would have survived. Yeah, Gabby. Yeah. I always think of that. Gabby was, like, a Buddhist in the sense that, like, she never hurt a fly. Like, she wouldn't even kill a bug. Like, she was all peace, no violence, no pain. Except unless your name was Lauren Ogle, because she bit the shit out of you.
She did. I had that injury.
Thank God it was you. Like, no offense, but thank God it was you and not, like, someone I barely knew, like a guest who came on the show or something and then was like, I'm going to sue you.
It would have been,
be like,
it would have been so awkward. No, please don't.
Then it was just a friend.
It was just me. And what was upsetting was I thought Gabby was my girl. I thought we were pals for life. It came out of nowhere. But we both think she was protecting Pen. She thought I was
lunging at her. Because the thing is, like, I think you were Gabby's girl, but Penny was more of Gabby's girl.
Which I get.
I get it.
You know, I can't compare. So, yeah. Those cats will get you. Most of the injuries are actually because of dogs, because they don't know their own strength. But yeah, 90,000 a year. I was just like, damn.
So I have a new segment for the show. Lauren, I need you to do me a favor. You're actually going to introduce this segment, but I need you to follow my directions. I just sent you an email. So go to your Gmail, open that bad boy up, and read it out loud without reading it first, please. Just read it out loud like you were asked to read aloud in class.
Hello, my name is Lauren, and I'm an Australian news anchor with an Australian accent, and this is Australian news.
Australian news! This is Australian news! I really, I knew you'd nail it.
Oh, the accent that has haunted me since this podcast began.
Yeah.
That still was incorrect. It was going British, I think.
Honestly, you did so much better than I thought you would. I thought we'd have to start the whole sentence over, but you really kind of, you adapted. I appreciate how quick you were. And I'm going to be honest. I created this segment solely to hear Lauren's Australian dialect, and I'm not ashamed
Australia.
Of it.
Australia, mate.
But I actually do have some compelling Australian news. So,
do tell.
There is a special group of police officers in Queensland, Australia, who are known as super recognizers. These are people in the top 1% of the population who are born with the ability to recognize and remember a face forever.
Whoa.
Senior Sergeant Chris Triton was identified as a super recognizer and is now assisting the Queensland Police alongside a group of about 20 officers with the same skill all across the state. And these people are being used to identify persons of interest from the 10 million faces on their police database, and they do it better than a computer can.
No way.
Yeah. So
wait, did you say they're trained or do they just, are no, these are like
photographic
people?
Memories. Okay. There's 1% of the population that has this skill. You might not even like super realize fun. You necessarily have the skill. It's like the opposite of face blindness. It's like you see a face and you'll never forget it. And
it's amazing to me.
This program has been able to identify over 1,000 offenders since it launched in 2009. There was even an incident in which Sergeant Triton was able to identify a rape suspect from a cold case within 3 minutes. They were able to reopen that case and move forward to close it. And they've branched out. They're now even used to help identify dead people and identify unidentified people in hospitals. So it's not just about looking at suspects. They can also go to a hospital if there's someone there in a coma and people are like, we don't even know who this person is.
So they Jane Doe.
Yeah, they can actually use their skills. And these 20 people who are working for the Queensland Police Department aren't all in law enforcement. They even employ civilians that have this ability because it's so rare and it can help so much. So if you are listening or watching this and you or someone you know has this incredible ability that you want to put to good use, call your local police department and see if you can get a job. I bet you can get a pretty sweet gig.
I would imagine so. That is such a superpower to me, especially as somebody whose memory is just
don't remember a thing. Don't ask me anything.
Yeah. Nothing works. Nothing is sticking in here. So I just cannot imagine being able to look at a face and be like, oh, never forget it.
Yeah.
It's here for it. But that just, they're superhuman.
They really are. Extra, extra, read all about it. Lauren's got a question and we want to talk about it. Go questions. This segment needs work. Unless you enjoy the question cheer, in which case it stays forever. But
it's staying forever.
We wanted a way to incorporate the silliness and the strangeness of Ask Me Everything, RIP, into Keep It Weird. Initially, we thought we'd end the show with a weird question that you could all call in and answer if you like, and we'd play them on future episodes or whatever, but I have a better sign-off we're going to be doing this season, so this is just something we'd like to do throughout some episodes. We find strange questions online, ask them to each other, and it's another way that you can participate. If you want to call in and give us your answer, if it's good enough, wink, we may play it on a future Ask Me Everything over on our Patreon or even on the main show. So, blah, 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 blah. Lauren, what is your weird question?
Well, what's upsetting is I wrote down two, which is a mistake. I should have narrowed it down because now I cannot decide which one I want to ask. I like them both so much, but I think I'm going to go with my dumber one because I just love it. What celebrity would you punch in the face as hard as you could if given the opportunity?
I had one pop in my head right away, and then I was like, don't be mean.
Well, now I really want to know.
Now I'm like, well, is it mean? Because it is the person I would punch in the face. Hold on, I can't even think of her fucking name. She was on Community.
Oh, and was she also on the show Love?
Yeah, and she was in Girls.
Yeah. Yep. Oh, gosh.
What her name is either. Jillian Jacobs. I'd punch her right in her smug, smug face. There's just something about her. I'm sorry. And I'm not this – I mean, I'm usually not this person. I'm usually not the person that's like something about that person just – I don't like them. But she is stuck in my craw. And it's so funny because we'll be watching – I'll be like so excited to watch a movie or a show. And I'll be like, yeah. And then like the opening credits will have her name. And Joe will just be like, uh-oh. I'm like, I know. I'm automatically going to like it less because I just want to hit her.
Well, clearly you're not alone. And now I'll be curious if any of our listeners write in and are like, I totally agree with you because all you had to say was Community. And I didn't even skip a beat. I was like, yep, that main girl who's also like, on the show Love.
No, it's not Allison Brie.
It's literally that
angel.
She's perfect. Yeah. No other female on that show annoys me the way Jillian does. So I'm totally with you on that one. And I actually have a similar one, and I feel bad about it. She's like won Academy Awards, and she was in one of my favorite childhood movies.
Okay.
But as she's gotten older, I just want to smack the shit out of her. Sweet, but not sweet to me, Anne Hathaway. I can't with her.
Oh, Anne.
I used to love her. I will say she's just gotten punchable as time
has gone. Yeah, for sure. She's definitely gotten more punchable, at least. Joe and I had this conversation recently, actually. And I don't remember what spawned it. I don't remember if we were watching something or we heard a story about a celebrity. I think we were probably watching a podcast on YouTube or something. We heard someone tell a celebrity story that was like, whoa, wasn't that weird? The reality of it is, and we worked in film and TV, and I've met a handful of celebrities from living in LA. The reality of it is most celebrities are fucking weird. Mm-hmm. If you have one, you're either one in the industry, you're in the bubble. So you've grown up in that area. It makes you weird. Sorry.
Right.
Or you're the kind of person who can persevere through what you have to persevere through to get to the point of being a celebrity. Mm-hmm. And it makes you weird. In general, if you were to spend any amount of time privately with a celebrity, you would be like, this is the weirdest fucking person I've ever met. I truly believe that.
I agree.
Because
and especially if they're in that tortured artist, realm that, it's like they're going to be impossible to talk to. Yeah.
But also, when you think about it, all celebrities are just fucking theater kids. Who got famous, which like that's sorry if you're a theater kid. I was a theater kid. They're unbearable people.
Yeah. Like me. Hi.
Hi.
Well, that is the thing is that's what's even weirder. And I've had this conversation with somebody recently too. That's how I like thought of this when the question came up. But I feel like if I was famous and was to Anne Hathaway's level, I would be exactly like her.
Probably.
So I don't know if it's also this insecurity that's bubbling up inside of me of like, that's what I will become. Because she is just a giant theater kid that like she's the most extra on the spectrum of theater kids.
Yeah.
I feel like that I just look at and say, yeesh, but I would be exactly like her. And I can't deny that. So I think maybe
that's
I want to
punch
myself in the face.
Well,
and also more topical, I want to punch Tom Sandoval in the face. I also have to say, and Tom Schwartz.
Scandoval. I am fired up, as I know everyone listening is about the recent. That was a joke. You guys probably don't even know what the fuck we're talking about. It's Vanderpump Rules, okay? The Bravo darling that is Vanderpump Rules. There's a cheating scandal. If you don't know about it, you live under a rock because it has shaken up the entire world.
I know.
Yeah, that's why I felt bad, though, because, like, I could pick so many people who have been...
Right.
I could have said Bill Cosby.
Yes. Like, people who are pure evil on this earth.
Truly. It's and I was like, Jillian Jacobs, face, but... she's got a punchable right. face, and I hate her.
But that's why I like this question, because I want people to answer, like, kind of with this under-the-radar, unexpected person, because it'd be easy for a lot of people to say, I'm going to punch Donald Trump in the face, Mitch McConnell, you know? I like hearing that, yeah. Jillian Jacobs.
Who's your personal...
Like, Gillian.
Yeah. Who's your personal, I would punch them in the face, celeb? Yeah, write in. Tell us who your punchable celeb is and why. I want to know. I want to know your dumb, petty reasons for wanting to punch these people in the face.
Exactly.
I'd be interested to see, too, because we both chose women.
I know. We're the rudest.
Well, and I wonder if that's because we are women. Like, if we were to ask a man, right. would they... automatically choose a man or a woman? I don't know. First one that pops in your head, that's what we did.
Yeah.
I need to think of a segment name for this one and like a cool intro.
The next one.
Yeah. But this is Monster Watch.
There's two of them across the creek at the big rocks.
Maybe like a siren.
Monster Watch.
Oh. Or yeah, or like a creepy face. No. Faces.
Monster Watch.
It could be a little of both.
Yeah. Something like that. I don't know. When you listen to this, you're going to be like, wow, I can't believe she thought of something so brilliant. But for now, I have nothing. So something I think is really cool. We're on year 7 of this show. There are definitely some points where I'm like, Lauren, we've done it all. We've shared all the weird things. How do we do this? How do we keep going? And then you research a story and you're like, how the fuck have I not heard this story before? Like, who wronged me? Who kept this information from me? And also, how dare you while we're on the subject? So I was talking to this old man at a gas station because that's my life now, and he had noticed something about me. I think I had like a hat on that had an alien on it, and I obviously looked a little different than most people who come into that gas station, and he asked me what I did. And honestly, most of the time when I encounter these situations, I just tell people my day job because I don't want to get into it. I have places to be.
Right.
But something told me to tell this guy about the podcast. So I told him, and he was like, oh, so I'm sure you know about the big muddy monster then. And I was like, the whoosie woody watsy? The big muddy what?
What?
What
did you say, Sue?
Who? As in the big muddy river? Like, what are you talking about? And he said, yes. And I said, tell me more. So he did. And it was lovely. And I wish more strangers told me about monsters. Take notes, people.
Me too.
If you meet me, tell me about a monster. I don't know. So today I'm going to tell you the story of the big muddy monster.
Oh, I'm excited.
Our story takes place in Murfreesboro, Illinois.
Where on earth is that?
Oh, you don't know where? Okay, so it's about 3 hours south of me now. So it's probably, what, like 4 hours south of Peoria. But it's 10 minutes away from SIUC. It's like the town right next to Carbondale, Marion, like that area.
Oh, then I've probably like driven
through
it.
You absolutely have. Right,
okay.
The Big Muddy River, for anyone who doesn't know, it's about 156 miles long in southern Illinois. It joins up with the Mississippi River and has a lot of different tributaries that Illinoisans, including myself, have definitely swam in. Rend Lake and Crab Orchard Lake being two of them. I've swam in those a million times. So, shortly before midnight on June 25th, 1973, two consenting adults named Randy Needham and Judy Johnson were hanging out in a parked car on the town's boat ramp by the Big Muddy River. We don't need to speculate what they were doing, okay? But at one point, the couple heard a loud sound coming from the woods next to the car. And it was shocking enough that Needham quickly snapped off the radio and they both held their breath to listen. And almost immediately, another sound. They described it as an amplified eagle shriek. They looked out the front window. Why weren't they in the front seat, you may ask? None of your business, okay? We're not going to speculate what they were doing.
None of your beeswax.
But they looked out the front seat and saw, lumbering towards the open window, by the way.
Okay, fools.
A light-colored, hairy, 8-foot creature whose fur was matted with mud. And apparently this thing got so close it touched the car, almost as if to open the door, but it clearly didn't quite know how to open the door. And as the couple screamed, the creature fled back in the woods. Now, Randy and Judy went to the police station and they filed a report. The police, who maybe would have waved this off at any other time, took interest in this report because, you see, Judy Johnson was married at the time and not to Randy Needham.
Oh no, not to her friend she was crocheting with in the car in the back seat.
So when they made the report of this monster, knowing full well that their tryst would be discovered, the cops didn't think that they would risk that if they weren't legitimately terrified and worried about this creature.
That makes sense.
So later on the next day, an officer named Jimmy Nash was out in the area trying to find evidence of this thing because they believed them. And he was actually inspecting some large footprints he found in the mud next to the river when he heard, as he described, the most incredible shriek I ever heard. It was in the bushes. It was no bobcat or screech owl. It was nothing we'd ever heard before, and we hightailed it out of there. And they actually jumped and ran away so fast that he even dropped his revolver and had to go back later for it. And that's something.
I feel like it's just gone.
Yeah, no. Sorry, I lost my gun. That's something else about these Murfreesboro, like Southern Illinois cops. These guys were all raised in these towns. They know the flora and fauna of the area. They've spent time in the woods. Right. They've spent time in the river. So when one of them says that a scary sound they've never heard before made them run away terrified, I believe them.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
More officers were dispatched to the area, and they searched the riverbank for hours. They were following a strange splashing sound, like something was walking through knee-deep water, but they did not find anything. Ooh. The next day, on page 3 of the Southern Illinoisan, there was a 200-word article about the sighting of the creature. They graciously left out the couple's name, but no one really cared.
It's kind.
They were like, meh, probably an owl. Like, no one took note of this monster.
No one was buying it.
But one night later, June 26th, a woman named Nedra Green was getting ready for bed around 10:30 p.m. when she heard a shrill, piercing scream come from out by her shed. And it was a sound they had heard multiple nights in a row, and she even told her husband, there it is again. At the same time, their 4-year-old son, Christian, ran in the house from the backyard where he was, like, running around chasing fireflies, and he was screaming for his dad, Daddy, Daddy, there's a big ghost outside. And his father wasn't convinced until he heard his neighbor's side of the story. Because at the same time, a teenage couple was sitting on their porch, and they had heard the shriek as well. They ignored it, continued their conversation, or smooching, like whatever they were doing, who cares. Their names were Randy, again. Randy apparently is the most popular name in Murfreesboro.
Truly.
Their names were Randy Kreeth and Cheryl Ray. A few minutes after the shriek, they saw something move in the brush near the porch. So Cheryl went to turn on an outside light, and Randy went to investigate. The moment the porch light came on, it stepped out from the bushes. An 8-foot-tall creature, resembling a gorilla, that had long, shaggy, white, matted, dirty hair and smelled horrific. So the couple stared at the creature as it stared back, only 15 feet apart from one another. And it was only 30 to 40 seconds, but they said it felt like an eternity, before the creature turned and crashed off through the bush and through the river, towards the river. Randy, who, by the way, this is just like a fun fact, was the son of a state trooper and grew up to be a minister at the First Baptist Church in Sheffield, Iowa. Randy said, "The thing I remember was the bulk of it, the shape, the human form for sure. And the stench of what I assume was river slime that was all over it. It was about 8 feet tall and at least as stocky as a professional football player. We were within 15 feet of it, close enough to see the body, the texture of the fur, and hairy, like an English sheepdog." So, like, details. We have so many details. Yeah. This thing wasn't seen from, like, a mile away. This thing was seen, right, like,
up close and personal.
Right up close.
If you're getting that stench in your nostrils.
And you can smell it. Cheryl Ray, who eventually became Cheryl Rath, a housewife with 2 kids, also described it as tall and hairy. She said, I think it was white, but it was really dirty and matted. It had a real bad odor. It was really rank. I never smelled anything like it. It seemed like an eternity we stood there. And then it just turned around and walked off into the woods, and we could hear it trampling through the woods as it got further away from us. Both Cheryl and Randy added an interesting piece of information on this creature that's common in Bigfoot sightings. They said that at one point the creature's eyes reflected a street light and that they glowed red. As opposed to, you know, a cat or something that would glow white or yellow.
Right. Yeah. I can't imagine just seeing red eyes looking back at you. Oh, I would not. I'd get trampled and die. I won't survive moments.
No, I'm glad this has not happened to me. Poor Jimmy Nash. Here he comes again.
Jimmy Nash.
He's got his revolver back. He's just got over the fright of looking for this thing, and he has to show up. He had to answer this call, too. So Jimmy Nash, along with Officer Manwaring, were dispatched to the scene. Where they did, they took note of a powerful odor in the area as they were taking the teenager's statement. So they smelled whatever had been there before. They also found a cluster of large footprints where the kids pointed out the creature had been. Chief Toby Berger immediately dispatched the rest of the men to the scene, all 14 of Murfreesboro's officers at the time, and even sent for an officer and a trained dog handler from the Carbondale Police Department, a man named Jerry Nellis, who, along with his German Shepherd Reb, had assisted the Murfreesboro Police in the past on different search and rescue teams. The dog actually did pick up a scent and led them to a trail of strange blackish slime that led to the river.
No.
The dog ended up leading them through the woods. They did find more of the black slimy stuff, and it ended up leading them straight to an abandoned barn on the property of a family named Buller. But once Reb got to the door of the barn, he did something he had never done before. He began trembling and yelping with fear. Nellis even tried to grab Reb by the scruff of his neck and push him through the door, but Reb dropped to his belly and scampered backwards, whimpering. The officers, including the chief, were legitimately so scared they called in for more support. They radioed for help to neighboring police departments, but by the time they all showed up and everyone went into the barn, they didn't find anything, just a really bad smell and the back door to the barn wide open. I don't know why anyone didn't think to surround the barn, but here we are.
Right? There's so many of you. Back up on
there's
back up on
there's 14 of you. Like, some of you can go to the other side.
Circle round.
The search was called off. Everyone went home. But over the next few weeks, nerves were on edge. Chief Berger actually said at one point he was worried less about this creature and more about someone in town getting gun happy and accidentally shooting a fellow Murfreesboro resident, especially since posses of good old boys were getting together armed and walking around the edges of the woods. Like, that's a recipe for disaster. Someone's gonna die.
Absolutely.
The next reported encounter, this one's my favorite. I don't know why. It seems like a movie, I think. The next reported encounter took place about 10 days later after a traveling carnival set up camp in Riverside Park. Since they were passing through, none of them had heard the reports of the weird creature or knew about the posses of men with guns, nothing like that. But at 2 a.m. on July 7th, after the carnival was closed up for the night and everything was packed away, three carnies. Is it offensive to say carny?
As it was coming out of your mouth, I had that same thought. I don't think so.
They work at a carnival. Carney, right?
They work at a carnival. Okay. Yeah, we're not saying a trash basket. We're saying carney. I think carney's okay.
Okay, cool.
But,
well,
hey, somebody let us know.
Yeah, if it's offensive, let me know. And I won't call them that anymore. I'll call them trash baskets. So, sorry about it. Diet Coke. Three carnies named Otis Norris, Ray Atkerson, and Wesley Lavender were sitting... They were sitting beyond one of the carnival trucks shooting the shit when they heard the carnival ponies start whinnying. These were the ponies that, like, walked in a circle that, like, little kids could ride.
Right.
Super docile, didn't really make a peep on their off hours, and they were starting to get audibly upset about something. So these three guys jumped up to go check it out, thinking some, like, mangy dog or coyote or something was nipping at them. When they got to the ponies, they said that the ponies' eyes were rolling in terror. They were furiously tugging at their ropes, trying to get free. And at that moment, they noticed something crouched down and watching these ponies. And it stood up. And these guys claim they saw an 8-foot creature that had to be close to 400 pounds. They said it was calmly watching the ponies, but that it scared them so bad they ran away, and the creature turned around and ran the opposite direction at the same time. And about an hour later, another carnival worker had come in, probably had to have been their boss. His name was Charles Kimball. He came to check out the situation, and he, too, saw the creature. He said it was in a deeply curious pose with its head cocked to one side, watching the ponies as if it didn't know what they were.
Wow, 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 wow. I have full body chills.
Full body
chills.
That
is a horror movie.
It's a horror movie.
That is a horror movie. When you made that cute face and said it's like a movie, I thought we were going to have a little meet cute where Sasquatch met a woman from the town and they fell in love. But instead, it was a
nightmare. There's no Harry. There's no Hendersons here. It is just a monster.
That was my hope.
So Chief Berger really started to get worried now, because after the locals heard about what the carnies saw, who definitely weren't spooking themselves because they didn't even know about this creature, when they saw it, a large group of armed locals went to Riverside Park hoping to kill the creature. This sounds like Frankenstein's monster. It's giving... It's giving
Beauty and
Beauty and the Beast.
Where they all, let's kill the beast! Yeah.
It was after this, Berger requested expert help come to their area from outside. Like, we're a small town in southern Illinois. We obviously don't know how to handle having a mythical creature on our hands. So, there were even private groups that had heard about these sightings and offered as much as $2.5 million for the creature's capture.
Wow.
A local zoo was even standing by, and arrangements had been made for a cage to be flown in by helicopter.
Jeez, oh man.
Like, how have I never heard of this? There was no question this thing existed. It was just a matter of if they could find it, if they could get their hands on it.
I can't believe this many people were involved and this wasn't national news.
Seriously.
I just can't believe we haven't heard this story yet.
It was, the New York Times did a story on it at the time. They got a hold of the story. They published it. But obviously the expedition to catch the beast was unsuccessful. The men who went on like the different search parties all claimed they heard loud guttural sounds. They heard roars. They heard shrieks. They smelled the smells. They found a ton of huge footprints. You can find pictures of the footprints online. And they even found like 2-inch sapling trees that had been like pulled straight out of the ground that had the strange black smelly slime on them. So like evidence of the creature was found, but the creature was never found. And it definitely seemed like the creature decided to leave, because after that there were sporadic reports in the area, like January 6, 1975, for example, 4 separate truckers, all of whom were traveling separately, had radioed in reports of a strange white bear-like creature near the Illinois 149 Junction, which is just west of Murfreesboro. On July 7th of that year, 2 Murfreesboro men reported a sighting of a creature that sounded the exact same as the Big Muddy Monster near a pond, but this was a few miles north of Murfreesboro, so maybe it traveled north. But other than that, it seemed like the monster was gone. And
just kind of went on its merry way.
Yeah.
And that was it.
To quote Chief Berger on this one, he said, "A lot of things in life are unexplained, and this is just another one. We don't know what the creature is, but we do believe what these people saw was real."
Dang. That is
wild. One of my all-time favorite parts of this story, actually, is you can look through the case file itself on the town of Murfreesboro's website. You just go to murfreesboro.com. Murfreesboro is Murphy, M-U-R-P-H-Y, Sboro, S-B-O-R-O.com.
Sboro.
If you hover your mouse over "How do I" at the top and then go to "Find" and then click on "Big Muddy Monster," from there you're going to find a link to a case file. And it's several, I mean, it's like 50 pages long. There's digital scans of police reports from 1974, letters that came in from people all over the world expressing interest, including the director of Isotech Research Institute from Jamestown, New York. There are artist sketches made from the description of eyewitnesses and even photos taken by the Murfreesboro Police Department.
That is so cool. Wild. Now I know what my evening activity will be.
Something was there. The big muddy monster is real. We just don't know what
exactly what it is. Yeah.
Today,
how many people witnessing it?
Yeah. Today, if you visit Murfreesboro, be sure to check out a new town mural. It was painted in 2021. The mural features Big Muddy himself. They even have a Big Muddy Brew Fest in which the Big Muddy Monster always makes an appearance, where all the proceeds go into funding townwide projects like dog parks and splash pads and fixing up storefronts. And I'm thinking the next time I visit Southern Illinois, I might have to go on a squatching adventure.
Yes. I will. I mean, you can go very easily, so you should go on your own. But if I can attend, listen, I would love to go. I want to find Big Muddy.
I got to find him. He's out there.
I want to see him.
I mean, yeah, he's got to be around. Maybe he's just dead by now. But
what if there were kin? We can find the children. Where them kin?
That actually made me think of, do you remember that really terrifying Bigfoot movie we watched that one time?
Yes. I think about it all the time. It scared me so much. I don't know. It was like documentary style.
Yeah. Right? Bobcat Goldthwait actually directed it, which is funny. But anyways, that's all the time we have this week for Keep It Weird. Thank you so much for listening to our show. Make sure you follow us on social media at Keep It Weirdcast. Subscribe to our channel and like this video to help more weirdos like you out in the world find us. Check out our Patreon at www.patreon.com/keepitweirdpodcast to donate to our show and keep us going. And in return, you'll get access to over 100 bonus episodes, videos, and bloopers. You'll also get discounts on merch and a newsletter that comes out the last day of every month. Okay, it's time for our new closer. What is that? Is that bees? Bzzz. We're going to insert like bee buzzing sounds here because this is a segment called Hive Mind. One thing we've learned from being friends for over a decade is that sometimes we have a creepy hive mind and we think the same thoughts. We watch the same movies on the same night randomly. We cover similar topics when we aren't trying, et cetera, et cetera. So this is going to test that theory. We are going to start with Zener cards. Do you know what Zener cards are?
No. Okay.
Zener cards, for anyone who doesn't know, they were designed by a perceptual psychologist, Dr. Carl Zener, at Duke University in the 1930s for experimental ESP research. You've seen them before in movies like Ghostbusters, the very first scene of Ghostbusters. They're doing these Zener cards. And
I never knew that's what they were called.
And I think they're in The Gift. They're probably in the opening credits of Charmed. I don't know. I have not seen the opening credits in a long time. But they're a deck of 20 cards or 25? 20 cards made up of five symbols. A circle, a square, a plus sign, a star, and some squiggly lines. Okay? So we're going to put our hive mind to the test. Lauren, I'm going to send a signal directly into your brain. Now remember, it can be a square, circle, star, squiggly line, or a plus sign. Okay?
Okay.
Ready?
Plus sign.
All right. Well, we are not psychics yet.
We failed.
But maybe
we
will be next week. In the meantime, have a great week, guys, and keep it weird.
Keep it weird.